Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right back into the scriptures tonight on part three of the Mystery Babylon. We're going into night two, the third stage of the serpent conspirators of Babylon. How, when, and where did the serpent gain possession as the children of God, as they have earned this distinction over the years through deception? Now, the Bible repeatedly tells us and warns us that the snake children are very wise, and that the sheep are tight as dumb. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be that way, because we talked about blindness in part happening to the house of Israel. How we got blind was a spiritual journey that has been hidden in the pages of time and history. The Caucasian race, when you go in and you file an application of identification, the questionnaire will ask, what race are you? And if you're white, Anglo-Saxon, you will reply, Caucasian. And by Caucasian, we mean that you are from a specific race of people, as the scriptures allude to kind after kind. Now, we believe that the Bible is too for and about the lost sheep and the family of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. James 1 and 1 says, go to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, the great controversy of Jeremiah chapter 24. It is written in Jeremiah that there were a good fig, bad fig combination here. We talked about the fig tree last night that would be rejected. Now, the fig tree in its proper place, with the proper bloodline of the house of Judah, with the corrected blood of Judah, from the 38th chapter where we left off last night, talking about how that the Cain bloodline, now these are the serpent race. Cain is a serpentile. And how do you know that, Pastor Buddy? I know that from the scriptures. When the scriptures teach that Cain was of the wicked one. Now, if Cain was of the wicked one, then he couldn't be of the righteous one or the righteous seed of the one. Now, there's a lot of controversy that brews in Genesis chapter 3, whether there were one seed or two seeds. But here we come along and add the third seed option here to be looked at. And we've never had anyone to challenge us on this proposition that neither Cain nor Abel, I should state it in this manner for you to understand truly what the consequences of your reckoning here is, what you've been told, what we've been taught as tradition, that both Cain and Abel mostly all of us believe this at one time or another, perhaps, that Cain and Abel were both the offspring sons of Adam. Now, further scrutiny or beginning to look into the text and to bear down and pursue the truth of where the real daddy of Cain and Abel stands up, we have Satan, the elusive one, spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, particularly verse 13 and 14, where that there is a curse pronounced upon. Here's where the cheese gets binding with the single seed line theory of those who are master deceptors known as the snake people. They have fostered this idea into the races upon the earth that all races are entitled to, quote-unquote, salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. When in reality, again, the Bible is only to one people, for one people, and about one people. The whole family is a bloodline descender of the blood of Jacob. Now, Christ is prophesied here in Genesis chapter 49 to come from one of these tribes. And here's where we take others to task for false teaching. And when you set a lie in motion and tell it often enough, it is then accepted as fact, when in reality, its foundation was fiction, based on solid fiction rather than a solid rock of truth. Now, there is a way that seemeth right. And I believe that by deliberate process, along with some very crafty people that have worked on the scriptures and give us a traditional thought line and blocked us in, if you will, framed us in to a thought process beginning with that the Jews are God's chosen people. Now, I spoke earlier on this subject of the Scofield Bible. If you go to the Scofield Bible, you'll see in Scofield's notes, as he was doing his Bible translation, he used his footnotes to lead the reader through and structure an understanding for him on his thinking. And therein lies perhaps probably the greatest evil or deception when Scofield himself believed that the Jews were God's chosen people. And so he would highlight it in the footnotes and allude to it throughout his footnotes. No scripture, by the way. Or scriptures that were taken out of context, just like Genesis chapter 3, where we're going to the good figs and the bad figs scenario of the serpent conspirators of Babylon. Ladies and gentlemen, Babylon runs deeper than the Catholic Church. Babylon was in rule long before the Catholic Church. Therefore, we cannot hang the sentence of conviction upon the Catholic Church solely for the purpose of trying to find the whore of Babylon. This whore and many antichrist predated the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I'm going to repeat that. There were antichrists long before the Catholic Church. There was deceptors long before the Catholic Church. Yes, the Catholic Church aided and abetted as they took the flesh position of the kingdom of flesh, with rulerships in the clergy, with the Pope himself being the vicar of God to place himself upon the earth, and a large following followed after the teaching, and it caused the Roman Catholic Church, which was rich and powerful with the support of Rome, all the Caesars, Constantine being probably the one that launched the great decision of the Babylonian Catholic Church, that it was not the originator of Babylon. Babylon existed long before, as I said, and it runs back to the Garden of Eden, which there was a definitive term for Babylon, which means Babel, which means confusion. So right out of the Garden of Eden, everybody believes that Adam was the first human being or the first man to walk upon the earth. And that is where the deception begins. There were people existing upon the planet prior to Adam's conception or Adam's creation upon the earth. Now, if you go into the scriptures with that understanding, then part of Babylon will have no influence on you. If you truly get the picture in the beginning, you will systematically let the tumblers of the mysteries of Babylon unfold, unlock itself in your presence as you begin to read the Bible from the very beginning. But if you're deceived in Genesis 3 and you don't know that there was at that time other beings, the beast of the field and the Asiatic yellow race, they pre-existed the introduction of Adam, who I believe was a white Caucasian. And I believe from this white Caucasian race, particularly Seth, in Genesis 10 and Genesis 11, that our Redeemer was promised after the destruction of the flood. And you say, well, Pastor Betty, do you believe that the flood was universal worldwide? No, I do not. I do believe that there was a universal flood prior to the flood of Noah, which I believe was isolated to a particular region upon the earth. So therefore, both accounts of the flood worldwide universal and the localized flood is true. But in different time slots, and so then science cannot prove or disapprove these theories that they launch that Noah's flood was worldwide. There was an evil race that was introduced into the scenario in Genesis chapter 6. And these beings desired to. Now, here's why that they did. There has to be a reason that the angelic beings, the sons of God, would want or desire to interbreed with this particular species that came down out of the heavens. I believe that Adam was a transplanted being from another planetary system. You say, oh my, Pastor Betty, that is, wow. Adam existed somewhere in a dimensional form. It was not a flesh and blood existence, but he existed along with Eve, He existed in another dimension. We talked about this in the dimensional realms at other times in the program process. So I'm just setting an example for you here, or a gestalt, building a gestalt to bring you to the good fig, bad fig conspirators of Babylon. Babylon is one of the greatest mysteries. You must, by all means, overcome the mystery of Babylon before you have any hope to have your understanding enlightened into the great, magnificent, magnanimous plan that's hidden from the world and only revealed to the babes and sucklings of the foal of Jacob Israel. Now, let's examine why that I believe that Seth, along with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, descending bloodline, pure. The whole Bible is to, for, and about a struggle to maintain and keep the bloodline perfect until the inheritor could inherit with a perfect blood. And so then, we begin in Genesis 6 a plan already plotted and hatched out by the satanic forces of evil. Satan and his angels that fell through transgression had already invented a plan to make this a nightmare, if you will, a hellhole, beyond the capabilities of man himself to figure this out unless the Father gives us a spiritual understanding and help from the far country with the interpretation of the gifts that come from heaven above. We will never figure out the great mystery of Babylon, and we will go through life thinking that we are correct, when in reality we are deceived and will receive a greater damnation. For the time will come that they will kill you, thinking, this is the deceptive power of Satan. Look at most Christians, every Christian you meet. Yes, I'm going to heaven, honey. I'm saved. Well, how'd you get saved? Well, I went down to the church meeting and I felt the Spirit. And I went up and I submitted my soul and confessed my sins upon the altar, and I was accepted into the church and I was baptized and now I belong to the church. Well, is that the series of steps to make the kingdom? Well, it's become the traditional norm rather than the exception, and truth is an exception that has been cast to the ground. The wicked system of the conspirators of Babylon hatch out and plan and plot the destruction. And let me assure you one thing. Preachers and teachers and song leaders, I could throw them in there too, because most of Christianity now is going through the entertainment phase. They love to have their ears tickled, and they love to have their heart entertained with great songs and great musical instruments and things of this nature. And so it's become a show, as Dr. Gay would say, a dog and pony show. And that's exactly what it's become. To make a fair show in the flesh, they can have the biggest churches, the biggest preachers to come into town. I used to be in an old tent circuit, preaching circuit, and we would set up our little tent here and there, and you know, we'd get 10 or 12 out at the most, and 25 if we was having a great blazing revival. And then the other big preachers like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and others during the 50s and the 60s that became famous ministers in the 60s, they could come in and set up a tent and they would pop them out. Great healing crusades. The notoriety of these preachers, the great monies that poured into their evangelistic associations. They were rich, made rich by Babylon and the conspirators of Babylon. And if you will conspire to deceive rather than to tell truth, then you can prosper in Babylon, and Babylon will adopt you and take you in under her wings and see that you prosper as a result. But if you are one of those who are a truth seeker, and you are searching for the truth, and you won't have anything but the truth, and you pray, and you agonize, and you fast, and you read, and you study, and you cry, and you weep, and you go here, and you go there, and here a little, and there a little, and you learn exactly who the enemy is, and then when you come out and preach the truth, the world and not, I said, will not receive you, because your truth is alien, and that which they claim to be truth is the accepted norm, and you're the square peg in the round hole. You don't fit in. So truth is the result, and there's casualties of truth. Are you a outcast today? Are you an odd man out? Or an odd woman out? You don't fit into the local congregation. Your thought process has been altered and changed through revelations and truth, through sacrifice, through prayer, through fasting, through seeking, through reading, through weeping. And it seems like the more knowledge you get, the less accepted you become, until the world will not hear you, and you won't hear the word, and you become, perhaps, one of the most miserable persons upon the earth, because you feel like now a stranger and a pilgrim that don't fit in to the system that the world has ordained and designed, and it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. And that's what my message in series is about this week. Mystery Babylon the Great. Tonight, the conspirators of Babylon, who seek to conspire to deceive the very elect. And unless you have a minister, a preacher, now a preacher's gifted, he has to have the revelation. He has to be called and sanctified and sent and met for the master's use, and he must, by all means, be able to preach the gospel without any compromise. And you must accept without any reservations, and you've got to lean out upon him to the point that you would separate yourself from everything you held sacred before to accept the new truth that is set before you. And run the race with patience, with persecution. Mother won't speak to you anymore. Daddy will find you strange. Your brothers and sisters down at the local assembly will cast your name out as evil. Beware of a man that's well spoken of, and yet we desire such good names. But when you take upon the name of Yahweh, and for his cause, and for his truth, and you know who you are, and you know who they are, then you know you're the few and they're the many. You know they're popular and you're unpopular. You know they got a form and a fashion and you've got truth and nobody wants truth anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a wicked world and a wicked society because this world is designed, ordained to be so. Don't worry about it. You can't change one thing about it. But you can change yourself. And that is the necessary prerequisites that are attached to truth to combat Mystery Babylon. That's the Betty the Shepherd's Call. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Betty. You're listening here tonight to the Shepherd's Calling. I'm glad to have you with us. We're doing a little Bible study in the Scriptures within the context of the mystery conspirators of Babylon. How did the Jews, now they have become the sympathy receiving babes of the earth, when in reality there is not one promise to the house of Judah, which would comprise, if you will, the Jews, to be the chosen people? Not one. Not one. I've made challenges for anybody under the sound of my voice tonight and at other times. I've been on national radio. And tonight we're on Truth Radio. We're worldwide, if you understand the enormous scope of the outreach of Truth Radio. We are now being received anywhere in the world where that there is a computer that you could download Truth Radio. So then, our voice is being carried throughout the earth tonight. Whether it's listened to is not important in the aspects of its ability to go there. But it is going. We piped to you, the Scripture said, but you wouldn't dance. We were there knocking on the door, but you wouldn't open. We preached to you in the streets. We called out, but you wouldn't hearken. You were too busy in your paganistic ways, Babylon. You were in bed with the great whore that corrupted the whole earth. Not just since the Roman Catholic era, where the Seventh-day Adventists took issue with the Catholic Church for changing the true Sabbath day, when, in reality, the Seventh-day Adventists jumped right back into the fire with the Jews, who said that the Sabbath day was on Saturday because the Gregorian calendar and the Jewish calendar, which denies the timepiece effectiveness of God's almighty word, and jump right back into bed with the deceivers of Saturday keepers. Now, Saturday keepers, and you may be a sincere keeper, I was, I believed it because I was told that Saturday was the seventh day and I could look on the calendar and prove it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, by further study, by wondering, by pondering over this issue, I just happened to ask one of my good brothers, who himself was a disciple of the Word, a serious student, if you will, and that's what I'm talking about. You must become very seriously inclined to believe the truth. Otherwise, you'll believe a lie. When there's no truth in your life, you've got a lie. And the more truth you ask for and receive, the more the lie has to leave the temple. Until finally, now this could be a process of time, until finally all of the error, all of the uncleanliness, all of the lies, and we have by nature, according to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and I'm in 24 here tonight, if I can ever get into the text here, by just laying a gestalt here. In Jeremiah chapter 23, the Bible says, we have inherited the lies of our father. So it's very easy for you to be what mommy and daddy was by inheriting their lies. And then when you find the truth, you go back and try to correct the lies, and the father and the mother will get mad at you or disown you or cast you out. That's happened to me. Perhaps that's happened to you. It'll happen to anyone that pursues truth and they let truth dominate their life and change them and put them in the direction of the narrow path. But most people want to walk on the Broadway. Oh, I got to go here to the church now. We're having a Christmas party or a Christmas parade or a Christmas play. And the pageantry of the little plastic Jesuses and they need a plastic donkey, and all these things that are sitting outside of the nativity scenes, and the Easter and the chocolate bunny rabbits and all these paganistic things that we've adopted into Christianity has become a joke of the influence of Babylon. And the great mystery of Babylon goes and runs about deep into the time of Nimrod. After the flood, immediately when the ark landed and the door was opened in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, let me read you that account and show you the very day that Almighty God began his timekeeping, set times for man upon the earth as he began to reissue, if you will, the correct times, and here come man again to change times and laws, just like it's written in the book of Daniel, and we've been turned into the Babel, the Babel, or the Babylon of confusion. And so the conspiracy to bring confusion, where there's confusion, there's every evil work. Come out of her mind, people. We're talking about you coming out of your own confusion. You say, well, I'm right. Oh, glory to God, I'm 100% right. I know my daddy was a good man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not belittling your daddy. He could have been a good man. But let me tell you something. The prerequisites for going to heaven is not being good. You can give all of your goods. You can do all the good in the world and miss heaven by a country mile. But what about the ingredients to get you to heaven? Whether it's the charitable institution of truth, charity rejoices only in the truth. There's a lot of good people that ain't so good, and I know this for a fact. I know a lot of good men that this truth that I have preached to them has cut them to the heart, and now they hate me for telling the truth. I know a lot of churches in this very community that I've lived in all of my life, practically, that hates the name of Betty Johnson, simply because I am that interrupter. I don't go with the norm. I don't go with the herd. I'm always bringing up contention points to ponder and causing them to hurt. You know, when you bring the fire and put it to the feet, it begins to be very uncomfortable. When you put fire upon their heads, it becomes very uncomfortable because truth will separate you from your good folks, your good ways, and the good things of life. And it could set you in the company of those that ain't so good. David built his kingdom upon things and people that weren't good. But he was a man after God's own heart. He set it up on God's condition. God's ways are not your ways. And man has come along and changed it to his way, the Semite way, the Babylonian way, and therein lies the conspiracy of the evil ones who appear to be good. And when you preach the truth, you appear to be bad, and the days will come to call good evil and evil. Good and good bad or good evil. Why? Because it is the reverse of Babylon. Babylon come in to change the very nature and truth of God's word because the carnal man is susceptible to carnality. And the Bible says the carnal man is not subject to the laws of God. Neither indeed can be. And if you're not birthrighted into the kingdom by blood, you say, well, I got to be born again. And this is the misnomer. This is the heir of Babylon, as they bring hordes of people in to the altars, and they bow down, and they give them the confession of faith, or they stand before a preacher, and they confess that they've got Christ, or they accept Christ for their sins, and they're homeward bound. And then they participate in all the multicultural trash that Babylon's got to throw at them. They swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and would deceive even the very elect if it weren't for old grizzled preachers like myself and others, and perhaps you, if you won anybody to the truth, to give them their identity in the revelation, you're a wise man, because the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. And that's why we take it upon ourselves and expend our time, our efforts, and our monies, along with others behind the scenes, too numerous to mention, that helps bring you the Shepherd's Call on Truth Radio. And that's why we're here. We're not here to showboat or show off. We've made challenges on here that seem to showboat and to be arrogant. But we did it to make fun of those and to belittle them. Yes, belittle them, and to warn you to know that they're charlatans, they're deceivers, and they're dressed up in sheep's clothing, and the only way you can pull off of the sheep's clothes to the wolf inside is to pinch it with a hard sand. Yes, they marveled at Christ because he had fullness. They marveled at Peter and James and John because they were ignorant and unlearned. They didn't go to the major universities. They didn't graduate with some PhD or a DD doctorate. Now, some of the stupid people I know got PhDs and DDs. Some of these preachers, I don't go to the assemblies no more, but I can see them on television. They bring their Sunday day to meeting tradition on the airwaves, and you can scan the channels from this First Baptist to that second this and this third that or this 25th of that or whatever the name of their assembly is. And it's 6 of 1 and a half a dozen of the other. They're all, if you put them all in a sack and shake them, ain't nothing coming out but tradition and the process of deception. Oh, but my preacher, he quotes the Bible. He don't deceive nobody. Ladies and gentlemen, you could bring the truth right into the assemblies, and they'll throw you out for preaching exactly what the Word of God says verbatim. I've actually done this. I've gone into assemblies and put the challenge before the congregation, before we spoke, and promised them I would give them $1,000 if I ever got out of the King James Bible and misquoted one thing in the Scriptures, if they would listen to me for an hour. No takers. Why? Because the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, meaning that they want to preach what the crowd wants. That's what that symbolizes, that you have to preach what the crowd wants to hear. They would stop their ears up when Peter, James, and Paul, when they preached the gospel, they would stop their ears and curse and kill these men, or beat them, or imprison them, or all three of the above, for preaching the truth that we get hated for today. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't do nothing. Mister, this truth's coming on strong. This is the beginning of the revival of Revelation. She's coming down to shake the very foundation and the timbers of deceit of Mystery Babylon the Great. You're seeing it. You're seeing the formulation. You're seeing one here and one there. Oh, I've been so blessed to receive calls every day, practically, from this brother or this sister, here and there and out and even from foreign countries, that expresses their sincere desire and their testimony is that the truth is forever settled in their heart and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. And they come out of Babylon and they solve the great mystery of mystery Babylon by knowing who they are and where they are and where they're going. And oh my. Oh yes, they've lost family as a result like I have. They've lost friends like I have. We have everything in common. Get a brother or sister to call you up in this movement, and you'll have more in common with them than you do with the world. But if you have more in common with the world and a brother calls you than you do with the brother, you'll not get no more calls from that brother. Because he'll recognize right away that you still love the world. You're still sucking the tits of tradition. And the Bible said, he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Man, I feel like preaching tonight about the great cause that we have for a very few that have solved the great mystery and the riddle of Babylon the Great. You got to overcome the lane of Judah, as it is expressed in the Greek edition of Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. It is to them that overcome the lion. As Christ did, he overcome the lion and conquered. And now the challenge is for you. You must solve the great mystery of the ruler of Babylon, which is this ingrained thought process of tradition that the Jews are God's chosen people. That is the greatest stumbling block to Israel that ever was placed before the people of Israel that were blind. We stumbled at the stumbling stone, and we sit in our bell boxes as we enrich our lives with these wonderful Christian tales of biblical adventures, as they spin it out in such romantic terms, as they make it sound so enticing that they would deceive the very elect, and they'll make you think that they're fixing to enter in and lovingly jump in the arms of Almighty God and God Himself says, I will spew you out of my mouth and bring them before me that would not acknowledge me and my people and slay them before me. The enemy, as I spoke last night, that done this is the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. And God said, the world is between the seed of the woman, which is Christ, and his offspring, against Satan and Mystery Babylon the Great. They would deceive the very elect, and unless Almighty God opens your eyes, like he did the wonderful young lady, Linda, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, unless he opens your heart to receive this truth, you in no wise will enter the kingdom of heaven. For if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that's lost. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, with your manner of teaching and your manner of preaching, only a few's going to get there. Yeah. What do you think the Bible says when it says, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it? The broad is the way, and wide is the gate, and many there be that go on that think they're going to heaven. And some preacher's coattail, because he preached an inspiring biblical message of David slaying the giant, or Samson taking the jawbone of an ass and slaying 1,000, and they romantically spin it out, and you sit there in a good air-conditioned theater and watch the theatrics of the preacher perform his magic and lure and his spell cast the devil on you. And all he's doing is thickening the plot and wrapping another bandage of the blindness upon your face. And you would sit there and support Mystery Babylon rather than coming out of her. And therefore, you would kill somebody that opposed the teachings and understanding that you've been given. And when a preacher like myself or witnesses like others that come and preach you your identity and who you are and who they are, you throw dust upon your head. You pick up stones to stone the righteous and you kill the prophets and evil entreat those that sent to you. Of whom the world is not worthy. But remember this, as Christ said, every drop of righteous blood, beginning from Abel, who was the son of Yahweh, down to the last drop that is shed in the last day before the final calling, Almighty God Himself will redeem the righteous and avenge the blood. Come speedily, Almighty God, to tear down the foundation of Babylon and restore the kingdom of God. That is my prayer and my message to you tonight in the conspirators of Babylon. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I love you tonight. I send out greetings to all our brethren and sisters who know the great name of the King and know who they are and know who the Jews are. Praise Yahweh. We'll continue this message tomorrow night as I wanted to go to the 24th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Tomorrow night I'll go to the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis and we'll pick up on the trailing of the adventure of those that came forth and got lost in the shuffle of Babylon. I'm talking about the house of Israel that was blinded and deceived and led astray, and now we must return. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to comment tonight, that's Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you listen to me on internet, you must contact me here before the end of the month. Let me know where you're at and how we can stay in touch with you, and you can stay in touch with the ministry, because we'll be moving on to other radio stations as we leave Truth Radio at the end of the month, regrettably, because we have met many fine folks, and we've got many fine folks listening in tonight, and for that I'm thankful. Praise Yahweh. So contact us between now and the end of the month. If you're not already on our contact list, contact us and let us know where you're at so we can keep up with you and send you information of what our ministry is all about. Praise Yahweh. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell. Let me spell it for you. Two words. N-E-W-T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. That's Newell, Tennessee, 37824. And if you'd like to email me tonight, you can simply do that by emailing Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y. That's lowercase letters now. I monitor the screen every night I preach. So, contact Pastor Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, lowercase, at www.gap.net. That's Pastor Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at www.gap.net. .net. That's all of the three addresses and contacting information that you'll need to get in here to the Shepherd's Call. Now, if you'd like to contact my sponsors, which is Dr. Jack and Dr. Gary, let me give you Dr. Jack's number, 1-888-281-7320. Or Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Miracle 2 is the search for you. It'll help you. And it's pure 100%. I love you tonight. Always, always, send greetings around the radio network through the Shepherd's Hall. That's the buddy. I'll see you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Eastern, for part 4 of Mr. Babylon the Great. You don't want to miss it. Praise Yahweh.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.